Did you ever play the over-under game with your friends? You know, think I could eat that slice of pizza in under 30 seconds? I know I did. If you have, then you're going to love Pick 6, the new fantasy game from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now and use code DKHOOPS for a shot at huge cash prizes. That's code DKHOOPS only on DraftKings Pick 6. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including, but not limited to, Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date list of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Protect your dream home with American Family Insurance. And you can weather any storm. You'll also save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote. Find an agent at amfam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
It's Freddie Prinz Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The NBA Finals are here, and we finally have the matchup we anticipated prior to recording last week's episode in a very unlikely near comeback. I will say, I was sweating a bit. I did put the Pampers underneath my armpits to absorb all of the sweat. And we've got the Nuggets, we've got the Heat, and we'll go into the series expectations and more with Nuggets Beat writer TJ McBride. See, that's a little bit of hip hop for you. On today's episode, I'm Miles Gray.
And I'm Jack O'Brien.
And this is
Miles and Jack Got Mad Boosties.
Ah. 3-on-1. Davis loves LeBron.
There you go.
Embiid driving, spinning, fading, hitting.
Curry, a three-pointer. Bang! Steph Curry from downtown again.
Giannis with the take. Uh-oh, look out. Showtime. What you got, Giannis?
What's happening, everyone?
Yeah.
The Heat Nuggets joke about, like, what is this, lunchtime? You got Heat Nuggets? What is this, instruction for frozen food? Heat Nuggets?
Oh, did you hear some?
Has officially been done.
Yeah.
It has been done.
Oh, you heard my mixtape? Straight Heat Nuggets coming off of that thing?
Somebody even put, in case Miami wins this, like, here's my draft, and like tweeted it out like a week before it actually happened. So we've all been beat to it. I was going to come up with that joke on my own in like 4 days.
Okay.
So,
okay. Yeah. That's cool. But first, let's welcome TJ McBride, our very,
TJ!
Very esteemed guest. So TJ, you're from LA, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, originally, yep.
And then you came up as a Lakers fan.
Yes, I did. Born and raised Lakers fan, watching Derek Fisher hit 0.3 second shots, growing up on Kobe. That was my entire childhood. Kobe ran LA, and that was everything that we ever knew was basketball people, and it's why I'm here today.
Fantastic. And then, but now you find yourself covering the Denver Nuggets for, almost a little over a decade now?
Yeah, pretty damn close to a decade now. I think it's like 9.5, 10 years. I think July is 10 years. So it's been a long time when you say it like that.
Wow. So you've seen it all.
I was there for Jokic's first summer league game in Vegas. I've seen the very, very, very start of this all the way through now.
Right.
And you
right.
saw it coming from the start. I remember
you said
when he got drafted during that Taco Bell commercial, you were like, we're going to be framing a screen cap of this.
Quesarito will be the second most impactful thing in that screen right there.
Yeah.
No, it's crazy though. You go back to that summer league, he was abnormally good. Like, you watched him and it still didn't make sense the same way it does today. And yet he was still doing these preposterous things on a basketball court. Even back then, that was what, 2012, he was doing that. So it was absolutely insane to see him come here, but no one thought he would be the MVP back to back arguably should have been three times and now in the finals. So insane to see where he come from to this point now.
Totally.
So I've been posing this question to everybody I talked to about the NBA, that they look heading into the finals, obviously could change. Like, they might be the best NBA team I've witnessed since the Kevin Durant Warriors.
Yeah. Yeah.
What do you think?
I all season long, I've been saying that there's been this inevitability feeling with the Nuggets, no matter what the score or the time is, that they're going to find a way. And that was very reminiscent to me of that exact Warriors team, where you would just hit that third quarter and it didn't matter if you were up by 15 or if you were down by 6, you were losing that game by 20. And that was that's how it's felt all season long. And even in the playoffs, it's felt exactly the same way. I mean, this is a Nuggets team that is, what is it, first in offensive rating, a couple points away from fifth in defensive rating, and is just far and away the best net rating team in basketball. No turnovers, hitting threes from everywhere, best talent on the court, role players coming through. This team is just turned into a monster, and there's so many ways that they can hurt you. I've been saying that they have more optionality than any team in basketball. They can hit more buttons and find more counters than anybody else, and that's why they've gotten here. They haven't had any moment where it felt like there was an obstacle they couldn't get over, no matter who they played.
No. On the other side of the versus sign, a team that didn't feel inevitable heading into the playoffs or at any point this season until, I would argue, heading into the Eastern Conference Finals, like, they were, you know, massive underdogs, but they just felt like something inevitable, like, based on how they were playing in the playoffs, based on how Boston was playing in the playoffs. Heading into the series, I picked the Heat in 7 just based on the mathematical pattern of Boston went to 6 in round 1. They had no right losing that series or even not sweeping that series. They went to 7 in round 2, had no right going to 7 in that series with that Philly team. I think it's going to keep going, folks. And it did, even though I forgot that and thought that the Heat were screwed heading into game 7.
I thought it was done. I thought there was no chance. It was like the extremely slow object hitting the extremely flimsy wall. Like, was the Celtics going to collapse mentally, or were the Heat going to find a way to drag this out to 7 and make it an ugly, ugly Eastern Conference Finals win? And that is exactly what played out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I will say, I don't have the same feeling of, you know, the people are sleeping on the Heat here heading into the finals that I did heading into the Eastern Conference finals.
That feeling for me would have been at its height because, again, last episode, we were on the precipice of them sweeping. And I was like, well, okay, this shit looks like it's a wrap. It's a Christmas gift. And yeah, when I was like, even if they went to 6 games, I think I would have still felt good. The fact that it went to 7, I'm like, oh yeah, they're capable of, you know, getting touched. And then and obviously being on the receiving end of the battering of being a Lakers fan, I was like, oh yeah, no, y'all ain't got nothing for this, because what happened out there, I don't want to remember again. Although it was a fantastic series just to watch, like, again, just to be like, oh, this is the best team in the league, and this is what it takes. Like, this is the level you need to be at if you want to say we're going to the finals or we are the, you know, the champion.
Yeah. And it's not just being elite. There's no mistakes made from Denver. I mean, you watched that in the Lakers series. They have the lowest turnover percentage in all of basketball in the playoffs right now. They just continually machine through you surgically, and there's just nothing you can do about it.
Yeah. Oof. Buzzsaw is the machine that I've heard them compared to the most. But let's talk about, so, I mean, Boston did make it extremely interesting. The second half of game 4 was, you know, that was... I texted Jabari in the third quarter and said, first 3-0 comeback? Because they just, that's the feeling that Boston gives you when they're playing their best. I think Charles Barkley said it at one point that, like, if Miami plays their best and Boston plays their best, Boston's going to win every time.
Yes.
And it seemed like they had just kind of put it together for a while, and then things slowed down in game 6. But game 6 was epic. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. That game winner from Derek White, I almost ruined a family trip. I was so devastated when I was like, oh no, the buzzer went off. No, that's late. Yeah. And then the second he slowed it down, I'm like, no. Yeah. Oh my gosh. And more so to be like, at that point, it really felt like, oh, is the universe about to, like, shine its light on the Boston Celtics right now? Because I was getting a little bit wobbly there for sure.
White will inbound. It's off to Smart for the seventh game. Now, it may have been tipped in, but the buzzer sounded. The light was on. It'll be reviewed.
Have to protect the offensive rebounding.
Oh, he got Long rid of it.
He sure
That's
did.
A Celtic and win, and we're going to game seven.
And that game six game winner was, of course, after Jimmy Butler did what Jimmy Butler does,
right,
and stormed mm-hmm. back and just forced his will on the Celtics and the, you know, laws of physics. Like, I still just feel like I'm seeing something that is unlike anything I've seen before on a basketball court. Like, when he just gets it going because he's like trying really hard to get it going.
It feels like the cheesy anime world where he's like finding the power of plot armor and just like developing more from nothingness.
Yeah.
It's right. incredible. Yeah. And like, it's at the point now that you can't quantify it. Like, is it going to be enough to beat Denver? It damn well could be. Like, who's going to pick against Butler doing this? Like, they are not going to win this series unless he is at that level of godly basketball player. But at the same time, it's going to take seven games of that to be able to do so. But he is in a world that you just don't see people reach as a basketball player. But that ankle looks bad. Like, he had no pop in game seven at all. And I'm worried about seeing Butler try and turn corners going into this after seven game series in altitude against Denver in game one of the finals 2 days later.
So
that
altitude is
unbelievable.
I think the altitude is being underrated a little bit. I talked about it a lot in the Lakers series because, as somebody who experienced altitude climbing a volcano a couple years ago, and I was doing it with a bunch of like 20 somethings, and I was like, oh, this is like hangovers. Like, this is one of those things that just gets way worse with age. So I felt for LeBron heading into that. I was like, uh-oh, this could be bad. And then Jimmy always looks gassed. Like, he'll do an amazing thing and then will look like he just did an amazing thing. And that required like all of the life force in his body.
Or he'll get hurt and roll an ankle and suddenly find his jump shot. Like, the guy plays better. I've never seen anybody like.
Yeah, he's like Maximus in Gladiator.
Yeah,
you know what
it's
I mean?
Really,
it's
like,
I don't know,
Rocky,
this guy, I mean,
Maximus.
He's kind of a man. We'll see what happens. You're like, what?
The altitude thing is so interesting, though, because I've talked to so many people about it after covering a decade of hoops in Denver. And every single one says a different thing. Like, some say, oh, no, you just have a quick, like, first wall you hit of altitude. And the second you push through it, then you're usually fine on your second wind. And that takes 5-6 minutes in the first quarter. Other people say it destroys them. Some say they don't feel it at all. Like, the Nuggets love to steer into it. It even says 50-80 on the free throw line. They love steering into it. But I don't know if this is as much of a real scientific impact as people want to make it out to be, considering these are the best athletes and some of the best conditioned athletes that are on Earth. So
are you implying
that
when I climbed the volcano, I was not one of the best conditioned athletes on Earth?
Absolutely not a Jimmy Butler athlete. No, nothing but respect, but that's a different level. And they tend to push through. So I wonder if the altitude is as big of a deal as people like to make it.
Well, I mean, because on some level, right, like, a lot of elite athletes, they train at high altitude for the reason that it's a benefit to your endurance. So I think, like, on some level, right, it's like passively, they're already training at an elite level by the altitude. But It is hard for me to say, and that's all it is, because that's not true. You know,
it takes 12 hours of being in Denver to begin acclimating. And then you just have to push through that first layer of, oh, wow, I'm feeling my first, you know, struggles a little bit earlier than I normally would in a regular game. So it's not going to like derail series. That's kind of
right.
My point.
It got to the point where I was in my conspiracy theory bag during our series. With it. I was like, I don't know, man, because Jack, you were like, look, it's not LeBron being 38 and mortal. It's the altitude. I'm like, yeah, that's what it is.
Well, I'll take that is. One. I will happily
it can't
take
be that.
That.
He's human.
He looked more gassed than he did
for
at
sure.
Any
but
point in his
I think
career,
that's probably a confluence of things. But for sure. Like, but I started Googling. I was like, okay, how are these other Denver teams doing? I'm like, how the Whitecaps doing? You know what I mean? Or the Rapids? I'm sorry, the Rapids doing White because Caps. I'm like, yeah, that's Vancouver. I was like, their MLS team, because I was thinking like that's another cardiovascular intensive sport, and I'm like, that must come out. There must be proof in the pudding there. Their record is not that great. No.
Denver's record for most of the franchise history is not great. But
I
think in a seven-game series,
they're smiling right now
against a team that where the whole heart of the team is a 38-year-old, I think. I don't know.
There's nothing wrong with being 38. Stop saying it like it's a bad thing. I can't. It's for someone who's 38 years old, I'm tired of hearing this.
The man might as well 38 be years a old. Fossil for NBA yeah. age, though. Let's yeah. be real. No, like,
oh, for sure, for sure. I can't believe
he's still standing at this point with what his knees have taken.
Oh, yeah. But it's just so funny to me, continuously, when that number is, like, just parroted and be like, 38. And I'm like, you know, I have a little bit of IT band pain, but that's, I can, just because
is
I
that even loops. Legal to have a elderly person like that playing in
this
the league?
This is elder abuse.
What if his dentures get knocked out? all right, let's take a quick break. We'll come back and we will preview the series that we're all facing down.
Did you ever play the over-under game with your friends? You know, think I could eat that slice of pizza in under 30 seconds? I know I did. If you have, then you're going to love Pick 6, the new fantasy game from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Here's how to play during the NBA playoffs. Pick between 2 and 6 players and choose if they'll have more or less of a stat. Rebounds, points, assists, and more. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now and use code DKHOOPS for a shot at huge cash prizes. That's code DK Hoops only on DraftKings Pick 6. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including, but not limited to, Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date list of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. And all right. So, I mean, one thing we didn't really touch on our recap, Game 7... incredible performances all around. Caleb Martin in particular. Is Caleb Martin having the best playoffs by someone who averaged under 10 in the regular season?
Like, I don't remember another one like this. I mean, might want to go the Andre Iguodala route simply because he didn't play in the regular season and then decides to play in the playoffs. But I haven't seen a player who was put so low if you would have ranked the NBA players. Like, he was not a starter on his own team. He was the 6th or 7th guy on the Heat, let alone one of the best scorers efficiency-wise in the playoffs right now. I've never seen someone become this much more of themselves in this kind of a setting.
Yeah, it was Caleb Mart him for sure, because I was the same way. I was like, man, who? Yeah, I was ignorant. I was a little bit like, huh?
Oh, him? You got to put some respect on the Martin twins' names. Even going back to Nevada, those two were dogs every single step of the way they've been fighting. I got a lot of respect for them.
Yeah, see, and again, I shown my ignorance, and it has come back in my face, because I was like, oh, no, this is something. But yeah, that sort of turnaround is kind of unheard of, because I think the other examples that we could think of were people who we knew were like a little more established, so it wasn't too much of a surprise, whereas Caleb Martin is
like Rondo. Yeah, yeah.
Right. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. They're like,
I mean, seeing Max Strus and Caleb Martin and Gabe Vincent and dusted off Duncan Robinson just off the shelf doing all this is the most Heat thing I can imagine.
Yeah. But all right. So the series, the finals. First of all, we are going to have a historic underdog winning the title this year. We know this because the biggest underdogs to win the NBA championship at start of playoffs since 1992-1993, the Heat's odds were plus 12,500. The implied probability there is less than 1%. That's the lowest odds. The 2011 Mavericks had an implied probability of 5.3%. 1995 Rockets, implied probability of 5.3%. The fourth longest odds would be the Denver Nuggets this year.
So
9.1%. Yeah. Which, yeah, you're like, for people paying attention, it has felt a little inevitable, but like it just seemed like it got missed by the mainstream sports media or the betting public. Like, just because they're a small market, I guess?
I mean, they're a flyover city, and this is why Michael Malone's been yelling so much. Like, you have an unorthodox star player. You have a city in the middle of the country that no one wants to go to because the airport is so far from downtown. And you have just a group of people who are playing team basketball with no hero ball whatsoever, trying to make it work in an old school, let's build it ourselves chemistry sense. Like, that doesn't work. It doesn't appeal to people. There's no theatrics. It's not drama filled. Like, they just go to work and they handle business. I think this is why people like Chris Mannix and all these conversations about the Nuggets being boring or not compelling is it's wrong, but I can understand how they get there in a lazy sense. Like, you look at them on paper and you're like, what is there to like get really excited about? But you get into the weeds and you see what they've come through. It's a heck of a lot more exciting. Jamal Murray has probably returned from an ACL injury as best as anybody has. Yeah. I've never seen anyone come back from an ACL tear in their first season back, be able to put together a run like this and play this long without their knee failing them. Nikola Jokic is one of one. We've never seen anything like him before. So the idea that this isn't interesting to me is crazy. And the fact that people missed it was just ignorance. Like, this is something that people just didn't take the time to watch the Nuggets because, frankly, they weren't as interesting as the Lakers failing. People would rather watch the Lakers go through the chaos they did when Russ was there and get excited about the hype of Malik Beasley, who did not even play against his former team in the Western Conference or in the Western Conference semis. Like, I don't know why we feel that way, but the entire grand narrative of the NBA is always going to be transactional. It's always going to be about trades and rumors and who is doing what. It's not as much about basketball. We haven't trained casual fans as media well enough for them to even know what a horns action is. Like, you can sit back and watch a cover three get played out by an NFL analyst in every single football game, but nobody knows what it is to put a horn set out there or to have a C corner play or what a flare screen is. So I feel like a lot of this
I knew what that last one was.
One of them. But that's the problem. I mean, it's hard to enjoy basketball for basketball when the fans watching it aren't necessarily watching basketball.
I remember, like, in the Warriors series where LeBron clocked, like, that hammer play on the inbounds. People were like, oh, he's a genius. A lot of people were like, that's a play.
Yeah, that is, like in every single playbook in existence, from eighth grade basketball through. Like, this is not an unbelievably inventive way of playing the game.
And we've talked about this, Jack, that there is this, like, sort of outsized emphasis sometimes on, like, who messed up?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who fumbled it? Yeah, exactly. Who's Don Beebe this time?
Yeah.
Yeah, all the coverage is Boston's collapse and the Milwaukee Bucks collapse. And it's like, I don't know. Are you sure that's what we're watching? You sure?
Yeah.
That's
what you're not really good. It could just be that the Nuggets are phenomenal.
When you get used to wanting to click on that, they're only going to click on stuff like that. And they're never going to read anything actual analysis based.
Yeah, because I mean, I can say this. I've watching even as such a partisan fan, as a Laker fan, I knew going, I was like, oh no, this team is so good. Like, it's difficult to watch because I'm rooting for the team that has no chance of winning. But part of me loves basketball enough to go, they're so good.
Yeah,
they can't be stopped. The last thing I want to
say on this, Matt Moore made a great point, works for the Action Network. He's on NBA Twitter like crazy. Everyone probably knows who he is, but he made a point that it's not the national journalism media that don't know. It's the TV people. It's the ones that sit down, have a game to cover, get a one sheet of information, right, and they talk about the game in front of them. Most national reporters, Howard Beck, Mirren Fader, all these different people who write long feature stories, they all know what the Nuggets have been doing. This isn't surprising. It's the ones who are usually television-based, who don't have a need to be able to know everything and are only going to use very base-level and surface-level analysis anyway, who haven't taken the time to learn. It's like Lisa Salter saying she hadn't watched Jokic since he played in the bubble. That was 3 years ago. How do you not watch the back-to-back MVP in either of his two seasons? So yeah. I wonder if a lot of this is the talking heads that we always see are the ones that we're hearing from the most about not knowing. And the actual national media who is writing and on a day-to-day basis traveling to learn about these teams do know. They're just not the ones on TV yelling at them.
Right. I saw everything I needed in the bubble. I think I got this guy figured out. Yeah, that's the other thing. They figured it out.
There's no more clear indicator of who a player is in the bubble. That makes total sense.
Right. Oh, yeah. Look, Jamal Murray, I saw him in the bubble. No thanks. It's like, wait, what?
You saw him. You saw that same Jamal Murray a couple weeks ago, too. So you definitely aren't feeling that anymore.
No. I was like, oh, no, please. I mean, to that, like, you know, where did you predict the Nuggets would be? Are you saying they were going to be in the finals this year or winning a championship?
I was very
much so
on the Nuggets going to the finals this year. I just knew what they needed, and they needed perimeter defense and dogs who can actually fight and keep guys in front of them. Because if you can do that, Jokic is no longer your defensive liability. And if they can shoot threes and handle the ball like KCP and Bruce Brown can, that just gives you more optionality. You can attack in different ways, and you have the defense to back it up now. Denver
with
might
real experience
be eighth in the postseason with defensive rating, but they are 0.6 points away from being fifth. So this is not just like some mid-level defense. This is a team that has been putting together exactly the process that they want to play with, can play multiple different styles, and have stopped Kevin Durant, Devin Booker, LeBron James, Anthony Davis, Anthony Edwards, all the way down the list. Yeah. So this is a defense that can really defend now, and that's been one of the biggest differences.
But to be fair, you picked the Nuggets to win the title the last six seasons running.
I did not.
Right?
I did not. I'm just joking. I know. I didn't grow up a Nuggets fan, so I don't have a whole lot of hope. And I honestly didn't think they were ready until this year. So
yeah.
So I mean, one thing I have to ask is somebody who watched Anthony Davis try his best to try and guard Jokic, and at the time I was like, man, AD's defense is something else. What? I mean, from your perspective, as you know, like I hate to sound like a courtside pundit. But what do the Heat have to do to handle the Nikola Jokic question? Is it the Kevin Garnett thing I saw him say? He's like, yo, I'm coming after him. Boom. Nonstop. Make him run. Try and gas him out. Is it like, or are you saying there you cannot defeat Dr. Manhattan?
You can. There are ways to make Jokic uncomfortable. The Heat don't have the ability to do those things. You need to put layers of big bodies in front of him. And that's why you saw the Lakers put Rui on him and put AD on Gordon and just put bodies after bodies between him and the rim. You can't do that as the Heat. We can do put Caleb Martin on him, pull Kevin Love off the bench. Like Hayward Highsmith isn't going to check Jokic one-on-one and be able to box out. So you can't do that as the Heat, even if I do like some of those guys. And I think Bam Adebayo is a top three defender in this league, pretty much inarguably. I am one of the biggest Bam fans, but I put some clips on Twitter. It doesn't matter. Like, Bam Adebayo can do everything he wants. It does not matter. He is lacking an inch of height and about 30 pounds of weight and a whole lot of leverage that Jokic has that he does not. And he's been able to go right through him one-on-one. So I don't know what you do at that point.
Right.
Yeah.
It's to the point where I'm thinking AD, like, you know how like Michael Jordan started working out after that Pistons defeat? Like AD needs to go like work with horses or something in Serbia.
And like, be like, yo, get on solace like Jokic does at the horse track.
Get on that program, whatever, because it's working.
Yeah, but there's not.
Do we think we're gonna see a lot of like NBA players start adopting what Jokic does, like chilling with horses during the off season just to like
the Nuggets have been doing this. I was asked on a radio show I did earlier, who's the player who's benefited the most from Nikola Jokic? And I said Aaron Gordon, because Aaron Gordon has spent his entire time in Denver learning to see basketball through Nikola Jokic's eyes. He went and just traveled the world during the off season, met Jokic in, I believe, the Czech Republic to watch the Serbian team play international basketball and just like sent some love, continued to watch film, and came back with the intention of seeing the game through Jokic's eyes. And we've seen who the player he's become. He's no longer trying to pretend he's LeBron. Like, this is a guy who can help any team in basketball and be a third or fourth guy on a championship team. So it's Jokic impacts people and the way people see the game in a way that you just don't see.
Yeah.
So that helped his 3-point shooting?
Yeah. Well, he's not having to take jack up shots off the dribble with a guy in his face. He can sit in the corner now.
Yeah.
I will say people are still somehow sleeping on Denver. Like in the so in this series, Miami were plus 400 heading into the Celtics series, which, you know, that made them one of the biggest underdogs in the conference finals in years. By the way, heading into the playoffs, they were plus 6,000 to make the finals. But yeah, now they are plus 300 against the Nuggets. And I guess that's probably because, you know, people just saw them beat Boston and everyone thought Boston was. But like, that doesn't track to me at all that you would be a bigger underdog versus Boston than Denver when we've seen what Denver just did to the West. Like, that right. feels silly to me.
It feels a lot like there's a lot of sharps who are out there trying to get value by picking Miami early and have moved the line. That's what that feels like to me, because the Nuggets have been substantially more favored than the Heat for a lot of the books throughout. But as we've gotten closer and closer to the series, it seems like people are starting to overweigh the Heat, because I think there's some big bets going on the Heat. So I wonder if that's part of it.
Right. And also, I think like more of, you know, the betting markets are determined by bettors and who's putting money where. And the Boston Miami series was very high profile and went to seven. And, you know, a lot of people were watching that more recently. So,
yeah, Denver's had 9 days chilling at home. Jokic could have gone back to Serbia and come back in this time.
Yeah.
This is our first gambling advice. I would say Denver is undervalued a little bit.
Yes.
This is not financial advice, though.
Yeah. Don't take me for financial advice. I chose journalism for a career. Do not take financial advice from me.
Yeah, or us. We're podcasters.
Yeah. So what do you think? I mean, it sounds like we've got your pick. It's probably like Heat in six or seven.
Yeah. Despite that.
What is there anything Miami can do at this point? You think it's going to be a sweep? You think it's going to be like five, six games?
Well, I have too much respect for Jimmy Butler and Eric Spoelstra to call sweep. I think this is going to most likely be a six-game series. I'm leaning closer to five, but I'm going to give Spoelstra and Jimmy Butler a game or two without a doubt. Probably two. But when you start looking at the battlegrounds, the turnover battle is going to be huge. Both of these teams thrive scoring in transition. Denver has the lowest turnover ratio in the league, so they're not going to turn the ball over very often, which is going to hurt the Heat. But Nuggets do happen to end up getting destroyed in passing lanes. That'll be a big boost for Miami.
That was one nice thing that Boston did, is that they gave them the ball a lot, which is really nice and, like, you know, charitable. A sign of character, I think.
It is. You have to be able to let everybody thrive sometimes.
Yeah, that's right.
But I also think the three-point variance is going to be fascinating, because if they just shoot the lights out of the ball and they decide, you know what, we're gonna guard Jokic one-on-one with Bam. If you want to take twos while we take threes, we're going to live with that, because we don't know how else we can score you, and we don't know how else we can be able to keep up with Nikola Jokic if we're going to send two at him. So I think that's going to be an interesting part of this as well, is can they just outshoot them? And the Tyler Hero thing is interesting. Everybody keeps talking about game three, Tyler Hero, could that make a big difference? And Tyler Hero is going to get cooked. The Nuggets, when they played them in every single game, like, I watched the last 4 years of Heat Nuggets basketball, and every single time Tyler Hero's on the floor, it didn't matter who had the ball, they were attacking Tyler. It was an all-out blitz to attack him. And while he did get some shots up on the other end, you can't have a defensive sieve like that in the finals. You just can't. And especially when he's coming off of injury, you cannot do that. And when you put KCP and Bruce Brown on him and say, that's your guy, glove him, it's going to be very difficult for him to create space and create any kind of impact.
Yeah, I would not try and bring him back if I agree. Just based on like what we've seen
for
in
but
Tyler,
you know, we're gonna end up here and they're gonna be like, we don't have ball handling, we don't have shooting, we need somebody else, get Tyler in here,
down
and it's 2-0. Gonna go rough probably.
Yeah,
I feel like the Miami Heat probably are one of the teams least likely to make desperation moves, but
but Spo also knows that if he doesn't have options, he'll hit nuclear buttons, like he'll do whatever it takes. That's who he is and has always been.
Right.
How the zone does not seem like it will work out very well against Nikola Jokic.
I got some stats for you on the zone. I looked this
I was wondering,
right after the Heat were officially going to be the finals opponent. That's the first thing I looked up. The Nuggets were the number one offense against the zone in the regular season. They scored, I have it right here, 1.15 points per possession on 56% shooting and 45% from three against the zone this year. And in the playoffs, they've been the best team against the zone as well. So that would be a very rough call if you're going to run a lot of zone against Denver.
Which was what Miami did against Boston. But yes. Boston should have been good against the zone, right?
But their offense was shooting. Nothing. They just devolved into your turn, my turn, had no cohesion whatsoever, and just took a lot of really contested mid-range twos and three-pointers that they weren't making. So yeah. This is a real systematic defense that is going to very specifically and intentfully attack this team against the Miami Heat regularly. They're going to know exactly what buttons to press, when to press them entering the series. It's not going to be like Boston, who's like, we have more talent. Let's just sleep through it. Denver will not be entering the series in that same way. So I don't think that you can compare the way that Boston played against that zone to the way that Denver is going to. Plus, you got Jokic in the middle of the court. Good luck dealing with that in the zone.
Right. If Miami could just be playing Boston in the finals, I feel like they'd be...
That'd be a great matchup for them. I feel like I've seen that somewhere.
Just do that for them. Yeah, exactly. All right. Should we take a quick break?
Let's take a quick one.
Yeah.
Come right back for the fastest segment in podcasting.
History after this.
Did you ever play the over-under game with your friends? You know, think I could eat that slice of pizza in under 30 seconds? I know I did. If you have, then you're going to love Pick 6, the new fantasy game from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Here's how to play during the NBA playoffs. Pick between 2 and 6 players and choose if they'll have more or less of a stat. Rebounds, points, assists, and more. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now and use code DKHOOPS for a shot at huge cash prizes. That's code DKHOOPS only on DraftKings Pick 6. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER, 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including, but not limited to, Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date list of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
NFL Total Access, the podcast, is getting you ready for the 2024 NFL Draft. I'm your host, Andrew Levy, and I'll be delivering 2 shows a week to make sure you're caught up on the very latest NFL news, including every free agency move and how it changes the draft needs of your favorite team. Draft experts and talent scouts, mock drafts, and a few shock drafts, too. NFL Total Access, the podcast, is already on the clock on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back.
Yes. Evil
TJ McBride. Oh, you poor soul. You've wandered into the fourth quarter rapid fire round of questions.
This feels like when Sway does the 5 circles of doom or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like that's what I'm getting stuck in right now.
Get ready. Yeah. How's your freestyle?
They fall for it every time, Miles. Okay. They fall for it every time.
Brian, play the Shook Ones instrumental.
Classics only. Classics
doing something
only.
Different today. Anyway, so here we go, TJ. This is the fastest, I guess, segment in sports podcasting history. I'll say that. I think I can say that quite confidently. We're going to ask you a question. Don't think about it. Just answer just reflexively. Just chest pass it right back.
Got it.
Okay? And if we start dragging on, we are entrusting you with keeping this entire segment moving. So you got to cut us off. Okay?
Miles and I aren't on the hot seat.
Don't give me this too much power. I'm going to wield it. It is way too much fun to. I can't say no.
Well, guess what? We're going to have a real tug of
button in front of someone and say, don't press it.
Hey, well, you got the big red button and I hope you're ready.
I'm ready.
Jack, we ready?
I'm ready.
Here we go.
Brian, game start the clock.
You want to go first? Why don't you go first?
Yeah, I'm going to go first.
Someone's got to pick. Let's go.
Yeah. Oh, whoa. Hold
this
on.
This is
Hold on.
Time out. Press.
Hey, my time. Hey. My time. Hold on. 20. My time.
Quick 20.
You're getting lost again. Come
Brian.
On back.
What
Brian.
Is this Brian. Guy's Stop.
Problem?
This is Miles and Jack got mad boosties. Not TJ got a spicy mouth. All right.
Start the clock back up.
TJ McBride. Is there a single NBA player you would take right now over the chance of taking Wembanyama with the first pick this summer?
No.
Wow.
That was quick.
After we just heard everything that this man has said about Nikola Jokic.
Yes.
He's still going to take Wembanyama.
Yes.
Just.
Now, what is it about Wembanyama?
I mean, I thought we weren't doing this. I thought this was rapid fire. I came off the chest.
I'm asking a follow-up question, which I believe is in the bylaws.
We've never seen anything like this. This is a beyond LeBron level prospect. I mean, you don't see someone miss a three, follow it up, grab their own offensive rebound, and throw it back down. The guy is incredible, and I believe in his body, the way that they're actually working on his plyometrics, and they're working on him at his flexibility.
Well, we heard it here first. Jokic sucks. TJ, we're talking teams we want to cover in the offseason. Spurs are a shoo-in because of the aforementioned Wembanyama. What's a team you're expecting big things from? We got Spurs. We got OKC. We got the Magic. Who's another team that people might be sleeping on that we're going to... Yeah.
Wake us up.
The Suns. I know it's very low-hanging fruit, but you give an offseason for Kevin Durant and Devin Booker to figure things out and retool around them and get Ayton out of there, that's going to be a scary team no matter what. That team was not ready for the playoffs this year. The Nuggets caught somewhat of a break because they were so fresh together, and I think now we're going to see a much scarier Suns team next year than they were this year.
Maybe like we can plan out some like... dates or like some things that they can do together to build chemistry or something.
Team bonding experiences. Yeah. Exactly. Go
to Dave and Buster's.
Yeah. Exactly.
Golf. I mean, what's that golf thing that everybody does?
Event.
Oh, Top Flight.
Top Golf. Yeah.
Why did I say Top Flight?
Sad story. I lost a golf club into the driving range last time I went to Top Golf. Never went back.
Oh, like your
hands lost it and it was gone. It might have been the sweating from the beer, but that's neither here nor there.
Got it. I get that. TJ, next question. Jalen Rose's hair?
Is that a question? Is the answer no?
Yeah, I heard a question mark on there.
You heard me?
Yeah, the answer is just no, and I'm going to leave it there.
Okay. Wow, no. Wow.
Mm-hmm. No.
Wow.
Okay.
And you're going to leave it there. From no the elaboration.
Don't okay.
Yeah.
From the chest.
I mean, the question was vague, so I think the answer could be just as vague, in all fairness. So.
Dream in-game commentary team. Who takes over?
Anybody.
Does these finals?
Sedano sideline, Doris Burke in the booth with Ian Eagle, who does the Nets call.
Yeah, Ian Eagle's so good.
So good. So good. I've had enough green. Although it was funny watching Jamal Murray point at him and scream bang last time he hit him. That was a moment right there.
I remember that a little too vividly.
I had a friend when we were playing intramural ball who would always shout bang bang every time the ball left his hand. And he was like a 30% three-point shooter. So
bang bang. Kind of. Okay, next one. Since you have LA roots, I gotta ask you, rank these three LA chains. In-N-Out, Fatburger, Tommy's.
Fatburger, In-N-Out, Tommy's. Fatburger is vastly superior to most burger spots, and I will get shakes there anytime. And Magic Johnson owns part of it, and that's the king of LA. So
right. Okay. Okay. That's fair. I like that.
Then we In-N-Out next? What are we doing?
Yeah, In-N-Out next, In-N-Out
then
Tommy's.
Okay.
Wait, how come Tommy's is low? You don't
it's
like the, you don't like
I
the chili?
I like In-N-Out. I'm just partial to it. I like the fries at In-N-Out, and I like the shakes at In-N-Out.
Hey, look at that. Someone with taste who likes In-N-Out fries like me. Everyone comes for In-N-Out fries, and I'm like, not
me. I don't
get
it. They're like, what, you don't like natural potatoes? That's the problem here?
Yeah, I like them floppy.
I love me some In-N-Out fries.
Go to In-N-Out for sloppy fries. Pour water all over them. All right, you can take any former Denver great, put him with this current group with the Nuggets. Which former great are you choosing to make a run in today's NBA?
I'm going to go with
Mahmoud.
English. I wanted to pick David Thompson, but Alex English would have been a little bit more team-oriented. it would have been a little bit different with, otherwise. But Alex English is a guy who has watched this Nuggets team closely, too. He still is a part of this organization in a loose sense. So I very much so would think that Alex English, that scoring was out of this world. And you put a wing like that next to Nikola, he'd be a little bit, he'd be Michael Porter Jr. actualized.
Yeah.
Mm. Okay.
Follow-up like question. That. How much does it bother you to see Russell Wilson courtside when he's sitting courtside? Do you think that that could, like, that's one of the potential things that's making me believe in the Heat is like when Russell Wilson's courtside.
Yeah, so the LA pass of mine is a Raiders, a Los Angeles Raiders pass. So everything Broncos needs to burn. I'm done. I hate it. I may not be a diehard Raiders fan anymore, but I hate everything to do with the Broncos still to this day. So anytime I see any of that, I'm out. It's the most annoying thing when Peyton Manning on the Jumbotron or Russell Wilson on the Jumbotron is the loudest that it gets in Ball Arena. So, you know, right. I'm out on everything Broncos. You could have picked anyone out of a hat and I'm out.
What's your favorite ball offering in terms of glass storage jars?
Oh, I actually have the Mason jars in my cabinet as my glasses because I do the old school pour thing of finding them at the grocery store for like $6 and use those as cups. So those ball Mason jars are the elite cups. Yes,
I got the big one with the screw top.
I have one next to me, but that I have all the lids and everything. It's the way
I just added that question too.
Yeah, he just added that question, and that now was wild. And he knew that was coming.
It's ridiculous. Like, as I'm about to ask
this one,
no,
where are we going,
Jack or Miles?
What do you mean? I don't follow.
Jack?
Oh, you seem confident with everything else.
This is going to be the way we do this because I think that I'm going to have to go Jabari.
Okay.
Wow.
That's my man.
No, you know what? I'm over that answer. That's no, that's, all right,
you
whatever,
can't be
whatever.
Over the answer. That's cool, my cool. man.
All right, cool. All right, Taylor Jason McBride. It's been real today.
Taylor.
DJ McBride, man. Thank you so much for joining us on Miles and Jack Got Mad Boosties. That was tough. It's been so much fun. Where can people find you, follow you, read you, do all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, just at TJ McBride NBA. That's where everything goes through on my Twitter. You'll see everything I do there. I'll repost this whenever it comes out as well. So you'll see everything that I do from that Twitter feed.
Go click on the link to this episode and listen to it a second time.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Boost them numbers.
Boosties.
Exactly.
Shout out to our Boosties listener of the week, Matt Chambers, for the recent show review. By the way, review the show. We love reviews. It helps people find it. Matt Chambers said, title of the review.
That's exactly what you guys have been going for. Body. That is on the nose.
Yeah. Body. You've avoided them all year in favor of more Embiid segments. But now you have to talk about the Spurs. Jack, Wemby's going to bring the Spurs into another decade-long 50-game streak.
Ooh.
I think also he was using Jack the way that Joe Biden does, like as an old person. I don't think he was talking to be specific. Jack.
Hit the road, Jack. Like that kind of Jack.
Yeah.
Anyway,
make sure you give us a follow on Twitter at Mad Boosties at MadBoosties.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And that's it. We did it. Another one in the books. A perfect
Thanks for
podcast.
Having me on. I had a damn good
Thanks
time.
Thanks for doing
guys.
It. Yeah,
Thank
what a blast.
You so much, TJ. And yeah, we'll check in with the finals with y'all next week on more Miles and Jack Got Mad Boosties.
When we have a new producer, because I'm tired of this Jabari.
Who is this guy?
So-called Jabari winning the Miles and Jack segment. This is crap.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast.
Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're going to love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Tura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.